Welcome everyone to our services. Welcome any first-time guests and everybody on the CGI online audience. Today, for the opening prayer, we're going to have Brother David Townsend from the Ottawa Congregation.
Eternal Father, we come before you at this time to thank you for this Sabbath day, the opportunity to meet in peace and safety, and the blessings that you give from learning your way of life. We pray for your inspiration for the speakers today, your guidance, your Holy Spirit to be with them to give us the message we need. But we also pray for the listeners, the brethren, and those who look to you for your help and strength and guidance, Father, in their lives. We pray and ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Brother David. Now, if you open up your hymnals, if you have any. If not, the words will be projected on screen. But we will go to our first hymn, hymn 138, Jesus Saves, hymn 138. At this time, if you would open your Bibles, we'll have a scripture reading. I'll read from Ephesians 4, verse 11 to 14. Ephesians 4, 11 to 14. And he gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie and wait to deceive. Amen. To sum up the announcements, if you go to for today's sermon, there's a companion handout. If you go to cgicanada.org, cgicanada.org, and for, it's called What's New for today's date, October 31st, and it's called What's New. That's the companion handout. Also, the weekly Bible study, tune in this Wednesday at 7:30 p.m. for a new book. Don't forget to turn your clocks back 1 hour tonight. 1 hour tonight. And the local Ottawa Burlington, check the Slack for a link for our Zoom call. This time we'll have another hymn, 31, The Church is One Foundation, after which we'll have the sermon delivered by Pastor Jim French. It's good to say that, Pastor Jim French, and entitled A New Beginning, immediately following the hymn, page 31.
Hello, everyone. Just to let you know where the handout is available, it's on cgi.org/new. And since one of the things I do is the website in Canada, I work on that as well, I might as well give a small advertisement for the website just before I get started. The What's New page, so cgicanada.org/new, is a page that has all of the new things that are happening in the Church of God International in the last week. I found with over 200 different websites and web pages to go through, I thought it would be a good benefit to be able to list, here are the 9 live sermons that are given every week. So there's video sermons. There's also audio sermons given in places like Ottawa and in New York. Mike James's church, Maryland, does audio sermons. There's also any new booklets, any new international news magazines, any new programming that's done, the Armor of God webcasts and things like that. It's nice to have one central location where you can have links to all of those things that might have changed in the last week. And so currently, on the What's New page, there's only one link that's active at this point, and that's a link to this handout. So if you look at the, if you go down the page a little bit, the first link that's available is the handout for this message. And it is worthwhile if you get the handout. There's some extra text there that I think you'll find beneficial. So to begin, in October 1997, a firestorm broke out across Canada because Canada's largest Protestant denomination, called the United Church of Canada, selected a new moderator. And for the United Church of Canada, the moderator is the spokesman or the head of the church. And if you're not familiar with the United Church of Canada, it was formed in 1925 by combining three different churches, denominations together. So the United Church was formed by combining the Methodist, the Congregational, and the Presbyterian churches together. The new moderator, his name was Reverend Bill Phipps. He was interviewed by the Ottawa Citizen, and his beliefs were revealed. What was surprising about that was he was explaining his own beliefs, and those beliefs were based on what he'd learned coming out of a seminary. And usually the things that are taught in seminaries are kept kind of secret. And the actual beliefs of ministers in the church are kept kind of secret. But in 1997, the firestorm was him saying exactly what he believed. And when the news got out across Canada, there was a lot of discussion and a lot of people that were upset by what a minister of a church actually said he believed. So some of the things that are normally kept secret from the public, some of his statements include, "I don't believe Jesus was God, but I'm no theologian. I have no idea if there's a hell. Is heaven a place? I have no idea. I don't believe Jesus is the only way to God," he said. "I don't believe he rose from the dead as a scientific fact. I don't know whether those things happened. It's an irrelevant question. God is huge, mysterious, wholly beyond our comprehension and beyond our total understanding." That was the start of his religious beliefs. When asked about some social justice issues, he said things like, "What really matters," says Reverend Bill Phipps, "is mending a broken world. We've got enough problems trying to live ethically and well here to have any knowledge or understanding of what happens after we die. Your soul is lost unless you care about starving people on the streets. The way of Jesus has everything to do with the Kyoto Summit on global warming, on dealing with child hunger, on helping the homeless. And beyond some of the ideas expressed, Mr. Phipps admitted the United Church continues to lose members. Its 1988 decision to ordain homosexuals drove many away. Although about 3,000 Canadians claim affiliation with the United Church, there's only about 230,000 that attend any given Sunday. And since that was 20 years ago, when I looked up the numbers, the United Church is down another 1 million members. So there's only about 2 million Canadians that claim to be part of the United Church of Canada. A longtime member, talking about Bill Phipps, was saying, "Everybody loves Bill. He stimulated our spiritual lives. And as for heaven and hell, the answers are unknowable, so why waste our energy?" I remembered this story about the United Church because of a course I'm taking on critical thinking skills. And one of the authors of one of the textbooks was trying to explain what's causing churches to come up with a belief that says God is totally unknowable and totally unknown. And as it turns out, it goes back to some historical philosophers, specifically David Hume, who died in 1776, and Immanuel Kant, who died in 1804. And the philosophies they were teaching, they didn't necessarily disagree that God exists. They just said that there's no way that man can know anything about God. And again, they would use arguments that would say things like, we only have five senses and God's a spirit. And so there's no way that we can have any knowledge of God because he acts outside of those five senses. Spirit is outside of what we can understand from our senses. And they use that as a reason to discard the Bible, discard any revelation that God would have given us. And instead, they just say God is so transcendent that we mere humans could not know anything about him. It's a crazy stretch to try to, you know, understand how a minister of a church could have such way out thinking. So why is this important? And why is it relevant today for us in the Church of God? One reason is we're not like that church. We believe that God is real. We believe that God has revealed knowledge to us through the Bible. We believe that God, through his Son, Jesus Christ, has revealed even more to us. So God is very knowable. And we are eager to share what we know of God with the world. A second reason, as someone who's been newly ordained, this is my first message to my local church in Ottawa and our sister church in Burlington. And it's an opportunity where we can share and re-acknowledge some foundational ideas and understandings that we have. So the title of this is A New Beginning, but it's not really new as in you throw away everything before. It's just a new opportunity to have a start. There's four things that I'd like to talk about today. The first being our Christian walk. The second, our calling and purpose in this age and this time in history. Third, the purpose of the Church of God that Jesus built and our goals and purpose. And last, to review the resources we have in the church to help us in our Christian walk. So to begin, the first point was our Christian walk. Of course, we all understand that Jesus is our model. In 1 Corinthians 11, verse 1, if you have the handout, it's already printed there. But if you're using your Bibles, I'll give you a second. 1 Corinthians 11, verse 1. Paul says, imitate me just as I also imitate Christ. And so we understand that Paul is pointing to Christ as the example that we need to be imitating in our lives. Another aspect in our Christian walk is that we want to be great neighbors. We want to be good people. We want to be great coworkers. We want to be good friends with others. And so part of being a light to the world is showing those things in our walk. A third part of our walk is that we want to have living in our lives all of the virtues of being a Christian. And, you know, these virtues we learn in Scripture. In the handout, I've list a few of them. Galatians 5:22 gives one list of virtues that we want to have in our life as Christians. Galatians 5:22 says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And the awesome thing about such a list is that any one of these we can pick and do an entire sermon just on that. And that might be something that's coming, Ottawa. We never know. In Philippians 4 verses 8, it says, "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are good, of a good report, if there's any virtue, and if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things." And a third list of virtues in Scripture is in 2 Peter, verses 1. 2 Peter 1, verses 5 to 8, where it says, "But also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue, knowledge, to knowledge, self-control, to self-control, perseverance, to perseverance, godliness, and to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, love. For if all these things are yours and abound, you'll neither be barren or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ." So again, a third part of our Christian walk was this idea that we want to have in our lives and pouring out of our lives these Christian virtues. And so many of them are along the lines of making wise choices. So, in our lives, there's so many times when choices come up, and if you make the wise choice, things just go so much better. The fourth item I've listed under our Christian walk is that we are still to be separate from the world. So even though we want to engage, we want to be good neighbors and positive co-workers, there's aspects of the world that we need to be apart from. 1 John 2, verses 15 to 16, says, 1 John 2, verses 15 to 16, "Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that's in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world." And so, Jesus shows us that being different can lead to challenges and persecution. The example I used for this was the parable of the sower. In Matthew 13, verses 20 and 21, we hear where Jesus talks about challenges and persecutions that can happen to us Christians in our Christian walk. He says in verse 20, Matthew 13, "But he who received the seed on stony places is he who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no root in himself, but endures only for a while. For when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, immediately he stumbles." So in our Christian walk, we also understand that we need to be ready for persecution. Jesus in the parable of the sower talks about all the different types of challenges that a new member is going to have in their Christian walk. And if persecution is something that takes you out, then you're not going to become that good soil that he talks about at the end, and where the crop will reap 30 times or 60 times or 100 times. A quote from a professional boxer, you might know him, his name is Mike Tyson. He's the professional boxer with the voice of an angel. He once said, "Everybody has a plan until they get punched in the mouth." What I like so much about this quote is that its application stretches far beyond boxing. It really has a meaning in any area of life. Whether the blow comes from a health issue, losing your job, making a bad investment, being stuck in a traffic jam, or in our Christian walk. Everybody has a plan until they get punched in the mouth, until some obstacle gets in the way. And the lesson that we can learn, perhaps, from this quote is that it's not how you react to that adversity that defines you. It's how you react to that adversity that defines you, not the adversity itself. So it's not the punch that defines you, it's how you react to it. In our Christian walk, Christ has warned us that there will be persecution, there will be tribulation, and we need to continue our walk throughout that. We seek to be a light to the world. I hope one day to see this transition. I've not seen it yet. And what the transition is when you have a friend or a coworker, and they might be talking to someone else about you, not necessarily behind your back, but you're not necessarily there. And they might say something about you that is to say, you know, wow, he's a great person. He's kind and generous and he's thoughtful. He is a deep thinker. And he would give you the shirt off his back. He's very generous. The only thing that's wrong with that guy is he's got this kooky religion. And the transition that I would love to see one day is as you continue to be friends and you continue to know each other better, I'd love one day to see the transition where they realize that you're not this great person because you're not this great person in spite of having these religious beliefs, this kooky religion, but you're this great person because you've been influenced by your religion. And the hope in seeing that transition in someone is that they would see someone has become a great person because of their religious beliefs, that because of the Christian walk that they're doing. I would like to learn more about those ways as well, because I'd like to be a better person too. And that's the hope that we have in our Christian walk, that we can be an example that would draw others as well. The second point that we wanted to cover today is titled Our Calling and Purpose in This Age, at This Time in History. In John 6:44, Jesus says, "No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up the last day." And this concept of God needing to call each one of us is important to each one of us. It shows us that, you know, the Father God, the head of the family of God, has taken the time to look down at us and has made a decision that we're to be, you know, that he wants to draw us to his church. Another verse that's only a few chapters away, John 12 and verse 32, Christ makes an interesting statement where he says, "And I, if I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself." And what this verse seems to be saying is that when Christ is lifted up, as in the crucifixion, where he gives his life for all humanity, if I'm lifted up from the earth, he would draw all people to himself. This idea of a calling might be represented there as in all people at that point are being called. Not everyone is going to respond to the call, but some people will respond to the call. Those people that respond are called first fruits. And in keeping the holy days, we learn lots about being a first fruit. A saying that old timers in the church sometimes use is that God doesn't call people in this age to save them. He calls people in this age to spend them, as in people, Christians, brethren that are called at this time are being called because of the need, the work of the church, that workers are needed in the church, and that's why God is calling people to be first fruits, is to participate in this work that's needed to get the gospel message out to the world. Jesus explains in John 4:35-38, "Do not say there is still 4 months, and then comes the harvest. Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look at the fields, for they are already white for harvest." This was 2,000 years ago. Jesus is looking around and saying, the fields are white for harvest. We don't need to wait 4 months for things to be ready. Things are ready now. And that was 2,000 years ago. "And he who reaps receives wages and gathers fruit for eternal life, that both he who sows and he who reaps may rejoice." So again, there's spiritual blessings that await us and that we participate in now because we're doing the work of God now. "For this is the saying that is true. One sows and another reaps. I send you to reap for that which you have not labored. Others have labored and you have entered into their labors. And in Luke 10 verse 2, he goes on and says, "The harvest is truly great, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest." So it's an interesting thing as members of the church, as people who are working to accomplish the gospel message, that Jesus is saying that we can influence having more laborers by praying for that. That if we pray, that the Lord of the harvest may send additional members to help with the heavy lifting that the church is doing. A third point that we are going to cover today is the purpose of the Church of God that Jesus built, our goals, and our purpose. In Canada, we have the benefit of a Canadian ministry that's been working together to develop 5-year plans. It started with Mr. Ramakan perhaps 5 or 6 years ago, and it's continued on. And the nice thing about these 5-year plans is it helps the church have, you know, to set goals, to understand what's our mission, what's our vision, what's our purpose, what's our values, what are the things that we're wanting to emphasize now. Because, you know, the Bible's a giant book and there's a million different directions that you could choose to go. What the Canadian ministry has done is they've provided some focuses so that the members can all be pulling together to accomplish similar goals. And again, in the handout, I've got a listing of the mission and vision and values that CGI Canada, the ministry in Canada, has put together, so that the church in Canada understands exactly what our goals are and what we're trying to accomplish. Under the title of mission, it says, "Our mission is to preach the gospel, the good news of the kingdom to all peoples, primarily within Canada." So again, as a Canadian work, we're primarily working with Canada, but I understand from Adrian that this broadcast is going out to members worldwide, and that's awesome. So the mission is to preach the good news of the kingdom to all peoples as a witness and a warning, and to nurture and prepare disciples to reign with Jesus Christ. So again, long timers in the church will recognize that what the mission is saying is that we need to preach the gospel and we need to feed the flock. It's a natural outcome of preaching the gospel that there are going to be some people that are called. Some people will respond to the call that's out there. The open call is to everyone, but only some are going to respond, and we need to be prepared to nurture and prepare those disciples who are called at this time, who respond to the call. The vision of the church in Canada for the next 5 years, our vision statement says, by 2025, we will have a reputation for being a healthy Church of God organization, with a ministry that's respected and easy to approach due to our servant leadership culture and our ability to effectively proclaim and teach the Word of God. So the vision that the ministry has set for 2025 is to be a healthy church, a church that anyone can come to and know that they're going to be well-nurtured, that they're going to get good messages. And it's interesting, it's talking about a ministry that's respected and easy to approach. So the idea of respected has to do with education, that as a new minister, I can't just say, okay, whew, all that study is over for me. I can put my feet up now and just coast until Christ's return. Actually, as part of the ministry in Canada, they've outlined an educational curriculum of some courses that are available, and I've already gotten started on some of those courses. It's awesome to be part of a church that wants to stretch you intellectually, that we want to, again, we want to challenge the membership to grow, and we as ministers also want to be challenged and grow. And I remember the saying from the founder of McDonald's, when you're green, you're growing. When you're ripe, you rot. And so the idea of continuing to grow is something that's right in our vision statement, that it certainly applies to the ministry and it applies also to the members of the church. The other item that's listed in the handout and we'll talk about here is the idea of core values. Again, we've talked about many different Christian values that are out there, and some of them we've identified for Canada as being core values. And there's a bit of an acronym that was set up called I4C. And it's because one of the values starts with the letter I, and the other four values start with the letter C. So I4C, which kind of, it's a good memory tool to understand that, we have five different elements that make up our core values. The first one is integrity. If somebody shows up at the door of a church, such as was described at the beginning of this message, where the minister has no idea if Jesus is God, has no idea if there's a heaven or hell, thinks that God is so mysterious and transcendent that there's no way to know anything about him, I don't see how he could have integrity in trying to teach people either from the Bible or from anywhere else. Again, if he doesn't even believe the Bible is God's word, then what is he teaching? Just ideas that are popping out of his mind, because he's not grounded in something like the Bible. And so integrity is key to building trust with new people that are coming in and keeping that trust of the membership that's here. The first of the C's is courage. And it was interesting. I was listening to Dennis Prager's weekly fireside chat. And the subject that he started out talking about is the importance of courage. Because if you don't have that value, then none of the other values may necessarily ever be able to shine. Unless you have courage to be able to, stand up for your convictions and potentially prove your convictions, to forcefully put forward your ideas. If you don't have the courage to be able to do that, then none of the other values or Christian traits might ever be visible to anyone. We need, as Christians, courage, and especially in this world, being a Christian will often get you, labeled. In the case of Canada, one of the frustrating things is any politician that says that they're a Christian instantly gets labeled with the title of spooky, because they believe in, a creation, and they believe in the flood. And so those ideas are spooky. That's not science. That's not thinking. These must be people that don't think. And it's a devious attack, against Christians. And again, if you stand up to say you're a Christian, it's something that you're going to need to be able to counter that attack against you. And you need courage to be able to do that. The other core values include care, as in when new people come to the church, we need to to show them care. There's courtesy and consideration. These are things as people are drawn to the body of Christ. These are things that will show them our love for them. And with care and courtesy and consideration, it allows us to work together as a body, to work out any challenges or problems we might face. And again, these are the core values that the church in Canada has. And as a new minister in the church in Canada, it's something that I want to make sure, you know, the vision, the mission, all these things I want to keep right in the front of my vision so that I know exactly what we as a team are wanting to accomplish in this next 5-year period. On the next page of the handout, and what we'll talk about now is the 5-year objectives for the church. There are two things that in the next 5 years we want to accomplish in the Church of God International. This is our focus. The first objective is to help people walk worthy of our vocation, maintain humility while forbearing others, one another in charity, keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace, and lastly, discover, develop, and use their gifts towards being active members of the body of Christ. So this isn't talking about, you know, just the ministry needs to be doing this. This is talking about what each member needs to be doing. It's in our 5-year objective. And that's our goal is to help God's people. But a lot of it is building up ourselves to be even better able to address issues. The more we learn, the more we're able to help others and the better quality of help we might be able to give to others. The verse that's associated with the first objective is Ephesians 4, verses 1 to 3, where it says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you're called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. The second 5-year objective reads like this. To have an evangelism program, A, that is robust and uncompromising in its biblical content and ability to address current affairs, and B, that leverages technology and word of mouth. So again, the hope is that what we're doing is going to also be causing the members to be going out there and talking to people about what our evangelistic outreach is. We understand in the Church of God International, one of the primary outreaches we have is the Armor of God program. And we have our, you know, some of the top ministers that are really good presenters, and they are dealing with topics that are really timely. Things that, are normally things that you might be chatting about around a water cooler, or some things that are going to stretch your mind and have you, discussing, ideas that are topical today. And so the goal of the church is to have an evangelism program in Canada. We have Pastor Horaine Smith in the Toronto congregation who's responsible. He's the evangelism coordinator for the church in Canada. So he does a lot of work to identify opportunities for placing our advertisements. He selects some of the topics that are going to be done at different times of the year. Part of our goal in the church is to provide meat in due season for the membership and also for the rest of the world, so that, you know, as seasons come around, there are topics that are more timely. And so Horaine is involved with identifying where we're going to be doing advertising, where we might be doing different evangelistic outreaches. An interesting aside, in his research, Horaine was seeing that the effectiveness of having a live campaign where we bring a speaker into a city and maybe rent a hotel, one of the things he was finding is that was becoming less and less effective. And in some places, there'd be people that would be calling the hotel to say, you know, what's the meal going to be? Because the announcement would say that, food would be provided. And so they're calling the hotel not because they're interested in necessarily what the message is going to be, but they wanted to know what kind of free meal am I going to get if I come to this. And so so the effectiveness of that was seen to be not so good. However, in our Kawartha Lakes congregation, Pastor Adrian went and did a special campaign, and there was 43 people that were new that came to that one campaign. And so how does an evangelism coordinator decide, you know, are these campaigns good and effective, or are they something we should be phasing out? I have no idea. That's his problem to figure that out. But it's a blessing when a evangelism idea works, and hopefully the church will be able to figure out what the right tool is with each of the different audiences that's going to be effective. In Kawartha Lakes, we know that they responded beautifully to having a timely message delivered, and so evangelism, as we know, is a key part of the church, and it's one of these 5-year objectives that we have to have a robust evangelism program. Interestingly, the 5-year plan includes much more, including things like a listing of what the external forces acting against the church are. I'm not going to go through them now, but it's great that the ministry is identified. Here are some dangers or things to be aware of as a church as we're trying to accomplish work. And there's also the same list or same kind of list of internal challenges that exist for a church to be successful. And so it's great to see that the ministry sat down and identified, here are things we need to be cautious of, even inside the church, in blocking us from accomplishing our goals. And the last thing that they did that was, I think, really valuable, they came up with 6 or 7 what they call critical success factors. And these are things that are critical if we're going to meet the objectives that have been set. One of the ways that they've identified how to deal with these critical success factors is in Ottawa and in Burlington, I believe, one of the things they do is they've created lists of what each factor is, and perhaps each month they'll go through the factor. It may be something like health. As a church, you can't be effective if most of your people are, you know, having health problems. A lot of churches, there's diabetes or overweight or other issues. And so it's great to have an opportunity to, as a church, work together and identify what kinds of things can we do to help that. And that helps motivate people to, you know, start a walking program, choose better things for their diet. And again, what the goal is with the success factors is we rate ourselves, as a group, maybe between 1 to 10, with 10 being terrible. And the hope is after a month or two of working on this, we can move from maybe being an 8 down to being a 5. And what the goal is to show some continued improvement. And so as a new minister and working with the Ottawa group, this is something that we are eager to continue to work on. Critical success factors that are going to help us as a church to accomplish what the goals, the objectives of the church are. The next part of the handout talks about, as a new minister, I want to be clear of my responsibilities and be sure the Ottawa members understand that as well, too. And so the Church of God International has a booklet that's titled Manual for Field Churches. And on pages 18 and 19 in the booklet, it lists the 11 duties of a minister. And so if we had time, I'd ask you to take out a piece of paper and try to write down as many of the 11 points as you can think of. But since we don't have time for that, I'll just go ahead and describe some of them here. For duties of a minister, the first one is to properly take care of their own families. And the scripture of 1 Timothy 5:8 is given. The idea here is that you can't be necessarily effective as a minister if you're not taking care of things at home first. And so they wanted to establish that. So it was listed as number one. A second duty of a minister is to oversee the church. Jesus Christ invested the ministry with the responsibility to provide servant leadership to his church. As servant to the people, he does not want to exercise authority as a lord over God's heritage. And so that's a second point, is oversee things that are happening in the local churches. Point number three is to feed the flock. And interestingly, it's not putting the total burden on the minister. It goes on and says to feed the flock, not necessarily to do it all himself, but to see that it is done. In the Church of God International, the Sabbath service program is a responsibility of the ministry. With support from the congregation, the pastor is encouraged to work with and train men in public speaking. They should be gifted with biblical understanding, a grasp of speaking fundamentals, and a desire to go before the church. Once they've acquired certain speaking skills and have gained the confidence of the congregation and support of the pastor, they can and should be recognized as a credentialed speaker. So in the Church of God International, I've heard for many years that this concept of a credentialed speaker exists, where, as it says, after you've established that you're apt to teach, you know how to put together a sermon, and it's always sound doctrine, then you can be recognized by your name being sent by the pastor to headquarters. And I'm not sure if you get a little wallet card that has your name on it that says you're a credentialed speaker, but what it means is that you're being recognized as someone who can go from one congregation perhaps to another congregation and visit, where you don't have to have an ordained minister there to oversee the message that you give. You're credentialed to be able to speak because the leadership of the church and of the congregation has recognized that you're competent to do that. In the many years that I've been in the CGI, I've never gotten a little card saying that I'm a credentialed speaker, but in Ottawa, that's something I know we have some good men there, and that's something that I think we'd like to work towards, and perhaps see if that credential is something that's an active thing that is done in the church. Point number four, as time permits, a minister, a duty of the minister is to make himself available to members for ministerial duties, such as counseling, baptism, weddings, funerals, and prayer. So those are all things that you normally think of when you think of a minister, that you may need request counseling on a subject, or there may be a wedding or something that's in the future, and so those are some joyful things potentially, and even funerals and praying about certain problems. So those are all, whether it's joyful or whether it's unifying and something that potentially is sad, there's functions where the ministry can work with members to these different occurrences in life, these occasions in life that the church puts special recognition to. Point number five, to arrange cooperative services on holy days, pulling church areas together whenever practical, to whatever degree is acceptable to the congregation. You should seek to build bridges and extend the hand of fellowship to brethren outside the CGI. And in Ottawa, we have had opportunities to meet with United Church of God in the Montreal area and in the Ottawa area. And we've had some church services that were, some holy day services that were combined with both groups, and that went for several years. And so perhaps there'll be opportunities in the future where we can reach out that hand of fellowship, especially with other Church of God groups. The hope is that we'll be able to do that. Point 6, encourage the attendance of all members at the Feast of Tabernacles. Interestingly, in Ottawa, this was a first year where they were set up as a satellite church to have a Feast of Tabernacles locally. And it went awesomely. All the reports that I've gotten from Ottawa is that even though we have the issues of COVID and needing to have distancing and wearing masks, that Ottawa was still able to have meals, some meals together, and lots of different activities. In the larger feast site, we were not able to have as many activities together, and so some might say we were a little envious of Ottawa being able to do a lot of what they were doing, and so it was awesome that the Feast of Tabernacles went really well in Ottawa. Lots of great reports from it, and at the central site, we also had a beautiful feast this year. And it's saying that one of the duties of the ministry is to try to make sure that the members are able to attend the feast. Point 7, to live and maintain a lifestyle according to the highest ethical standards of the ministry. Number 8, to provide servant leadership training to members of the congregation. Number 9, to recommend qualified men to the ministerial council for involvement in the MAP program. That's a ministerial apprentice program. I was involved in that for 3 years with Pastor Adrian and Pastor Murray being my direct mentors for the three-year period. And so it's a chance to go through some educational materials together, for me to participate with them if they're doing so I had the opportunity for some anointings to participate in that with them at the feast. There's sometimes a bigger group of people, and so there's more opportunity perhaps for anointings. I worked with Rick Dubler at one feast, and we anointed some people, and this year again we had that opportunity. Number 10, in the spirit of admonition, to be subject one to another, to hold himself accountable to the ministry at large, and the ministerial council in particular. So in the Church of God International, there's no rogue minister that gets to do whatever he feels like. We all are subject in the ministry. We're subject one to another, and we have a ministerial council that also oversees. So if there's anyone that has concerns or problems about a minister, then there's a path of that can be taken to address any of those issues. But the key part of it is the humility of each of the men to be subject, one to another, that nobody's the, just because you become a minister, you're not the big shot that gets to do whatever you feel like or do whatever you want. We're servant leaders, and in our service, we are subject one to another. And point number 11, the last one that he listed, is to supervise the nomination and election of members of a local church council. And again, we in Ottawa have a local council that oversees, setting up for social activities, and it also helps organize some of our outreach, charitable outreach. So there's been times when we've, collected money for gift cards that we could give to the a woman's shelter that's local to us. And so different people will often recommend different charities that we can help. And as a group in Ottawa, there's a local council that helps with the organizing of some of those activities. So that's the 11 duties of a minister. If you can think of any others, please send me a note so I can get it added to the list. The next part is again, part of the Manual of Field Churches. On page number 6, it talks about understanding at a higher level the essential activities of the church. And so, again, our Manual for Field Churches, when Christ said, "I'm going to build my church," what are the things that he was expecting? And the Manual for Field Churches identifies 4 things that that we look forward to the church handling. Number 1 is worship. This involves prayer and songs of praise, honoring God with our presence. A second essential activity of the church is edification. in the simplest terms, preaching and teaching, either live or through, media resources like this. And it can involve advice and encouragement received from conversations with the brethren. So edification is the second purpose of the church, function that is expected the church to be able to do. Number three is fellowship, simply being together. Fellowship involves mutual exhortation, encouragement, consolation, and sometimes admonition. We all remember the proverb, faithful are the wounds of a friend. And so sometimes a friend needs to take you aside and give a bit of admonition to encourage you to do better, to change something that might have gotten off of track. And the hope is that in this fellowship that we're doing together, that we each realize the love that we have for each other and how hard it is sometimes for somebody to try to bring something to someone else to, hopefully have them, be able to address something in their life. So the hope is that we all remain humble and teachable and eager to build up each other to be even better. Point number four of the four functions of a church, the fourth point is service. This includes assisting the needy, visiting, encouraging, helping the sick, as well as all other forms of Christian service. These can, of course, be done individually, but can be effectively coordinated by the local church. So that's another function that we hope that the church is able to accomplish, and again, especially working together. So the last page of the handout, the last item that we'll discuss is to review some resources we have in the church to help our Christian walk. We'll start with a scripture, Ephesians 4, verses 11 to 14. Ephesians 4, 11 to 14, it says, "And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, and teachers." And this is the verse that's especially important, verse 12. "For the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry." And again, the reason that's really important is because when I first read that, and for the last 45 years when I was reading that, I was always reading that's for the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry, as in this is stuff that the ministers have to do. But that's not what the verse is saying. The verse is saying that we as ministers, part of what we're doing, he gave some to be apostles and prophets and teachers, pastors. What we're to be doing is equipping of the saints for the work of ministry. The saints are to be doing ministry. So again, we're to be using the word of God to equip the state of the saints to do ministry. Once again, ministers use the word of God to equip saints to do ministry. And so, with that realization, when the pastor's up front doing a message, the purpose of that is to equip the saints so that when they go out, they return home, and they're dealing with a circle of people in their lives all week long, the hope is that their ministry in working with all the people around them will be effective. And again, in some of the courses that I've started to take, one of the points being made is that it might be worthwhile to have a time for testimonials at each week, because there's many people in the church and they're all doing ministry with their circle of people that they're involved with. And so, an example might be a testimonial where someone says, "Well, last week's sermon was on the subject of being thankful. And so when I took that home, what I decided to do was to phone some people and to thank them. I also decided to send some cards to people. To be, to say thanks for something that they've done. I decided to send an email to someone, to a couple of people to be thankful. And then I also decided in person to go up and and tell someone, you know, tell some people thank you for what you've done. And it'd be interesting to see, you know, which of those is one more effective than another at, you know, being able to draw a conversation or draw out, you know, the appreciation of you being thankful towards what they've done for you. And so talking about the results of that is something that a congregation can then benefit from. So it starts with perhaps a sermon talking about being thankful, but its effectiveness is, how is that equipping the saints for the work of the ministry, for the work of ministry that they're doing, that the saints are doing? And so I look forward in the next months and years, in working with, the people in Ottawa and other locations in, you know, providing tools to help their ministry, their Christian walk as they're interacting with others. The next point was to talk about some resources that we have in the church. So these are kind of like tools in our toolkit. And the first ones I'm listed here are, the Father and Jesus, who we can reach in prayer. Those are, that's a key tool that we want to pray about, things that helps us to, bounce the ideas off of the Father, off of Jesus, and we look forward to them inspiring back to help us to understand what path we might want to take. We also have the Bible as a tool. It's a tool in our toolkit that has a lot of wisdom in it for us. Another tool that we have in the Church of God International is a statement of beliefs. Our statement of beliefs is currently probably 33 or 36 different items that talk about exactly what our teachings are. And each teaching is about three lines long, where it just says this is what our belief is. And some people will say, well, why do you need a statement of beliefs? Here's a Bible. But the problem is, everybody says that they get their beliefs from the Bible, but they don't usually line up, and we don't really understand what they mean. And so a statement of beliefs says exactly what we understand and what our belief is in the Church of God International. So if we're dealing with somebody at the beginning of the sermon, well, I don't know if Jesus, was real. I don't know if he ever rose from the dead. Things like that are going to be pretty clearly explained. And again, as a website guy, here's another opportunity for me to advertise something that's on the cgicanada.org site. And I called it, and again, there's a link on the handout, the Christian Adventure. And what that does is it takes our, let's say, 33 statements of belief items, and it puts with each of those items all of the different sermons and Bible courses and articles that have been written and blog posts that might have been written that deal with each of the subjects. So, for example, if you're interested in the subject of baptism, all the different places where baptism is referenced in one of our Bible correspondence course lessons, or wherever there is an Armor of God program that dealt with that subject, those are all listed. So you have links to all of the materials that the Church of God International has on all of the different points of our belief, our 33 points of our statement of beliefs. So it's called the Christian Adventure because it takes forever to get through this many links. The Church of God International has existed since 1978, and so there's been lots of different ministers, lots of different writings, and lots of materials created to help preach the gospel, to get the message out, and to identify what we believe and why we believe it. So if you're interested, for example, in the subject of the Holy Spirit, there might be, sermons there by Vance Stinson or by Mike James or by, any of the, various Armor of God presenters. And so by going through the list, you might be able to find, here's a speaker that I particularly like, or maybe you prefer written materials. So then you'll be able to see, oh, there's a booklet on this subject, as well as there's a correspondence course that deals with baptism in detail. And so the Christian Adventure allows people in the Church of God International to really sharpen their skills in each of the different things that are part of our statement of beliefs, all the various areas that are normally going to be areas that are talked about in sermons or in articles that are written or in our booklets. I think there's something like 170 different booklets that exist on the Canadian site. More on the Canadian site than the American site at this point. Some of the older materials kind of fell off of the site in the U.S. And so if you're interested in booklets, articles, in these resources that can help you in your Christian walk, I would suggest the link, once again, is cgicanada.org/the-christian-adventure. And so if you go there, then you'll see it's an enormous long web page, because the CGI fortunately has produced lots and lots of materials that I think you'll benefit from. One other point is when we're talking about a statement of beliefs, every once in a while someone will go through it and they'll see, oh, number 14, I don't necessarily believe exactly that. One of the other opportunities we have in the Church of God International is to prepare and have study papers available that go right to the ministerial council. So any member can, if they find something in a booklet that they don't think is appropriate, or something that is in part of our teachings that may not be appropriate, the opportunity exists to present your material to the local minister if you'd like to chat about it or to go over it. But everybody has also the opportunity to present or to have papers to go to the ministerial council for their consideration. I think that's pretty powerful. So again, we've talked about booklets and articles and sermons. We have websites and social media, Facebook and other social media that allow people to share ideas. And we also have the ministry. We have brethren that we can interact with in fellowship, people that can be examples to us and mentors to us as well. So in closing, a newly ordained pastor like me in our Ottawa church is an opportunity for a new beginning. Building upon the good of the past, local members and leaders and spiritual gifts in the congregation. Interestingly, 5 years ago, Mr. Ramakan, when he did his work as an evangelism coordinator, we in Ottawa identified a problem that we had. Was we didn't really understand spiritual gifts and who had what gifts, and we wanted to maximize our understanding of that. And so because we were able to focus, we were able to identify a problem, we were then able to focus on it, have sermons on the subject, have people talking about it and interacting with each other to better identify. So I would suggest something that was a weakness in Ottawa, spiritual gifts, is now become a strength, and it's something that we can continue to build on beyond. So we want to build on the good of the past, the local members and the leaders and the spiritual gifts that exist in the congregation. And we also want to look forward to new learning and opportunities and outreach. If there's any topics people want covered, please send me a note or talk to me, and we can be sure that those will be covered. So at the beginning of the message, we saw some shocking statements from the largest Protestant church in Canada. In the Church of God, we're not paralyzed into believing God is unknown or unknowable. We have truth to share beyond what most of the churches know of. Our understanding of the holy days, our understanding of God's plan of salvation, is something that most churches, most Christian churches, have no idea of. And we have a mission from Jesus to do as well. It's identified in Matthew 28, verses 19 and 20. So I'll close with Jesus' words where he says, "Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I've commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age."
Thank you, Brother Jim. It's good to have you on board and look forward to your contributions to the ministry here in Canada, and especially in the congregation in Ottawa. Thank you for that. Just a couple of reminders here before we go to the closing prayer and the closing hymn. Don't forget to tune in to the Wednesday Bible study, 7:30 this week. We will begin a new book. We've just finished book 3 of the Psalms, so we'll take a break from the Psalms and jump into a new book. So join us on Wednesday at 7:30. And for the next book, it'll be a surprise. So tune in to find out what that new study book will be. And don't forget to, again, turn your clocks back tonight. And for the local members here in Burlington, Ottawa, check the Slack channel for our Zoom call for after sermon discussion. We'll begin sometime around 4:10. So we will close with prayer. Now I'll close with prayer, and then we will proceed to the straight into the final hymn, which will be from page 185, To the Work. So again, thank you for joining us. Look forward to seeing you here again next week. God willing, we'll have our deacon, Jan Kowalczyk, giving the sermon next week. And we will see you then. Let's all bow our heads in prayer, and then the final hymn, To the Work. Father in heaven, we just pause before you at the end of this service. Thank you so very much for the technology that unites us. We thank you for the work and the efforts of those who have put together this service today. We thank you for your words from our brother and new elder, Jim. We thank you for the work that goes into putting these services together. We ask you to be with us, both locally and around the world, as we take stock of ourselves and where we are in our journey with you, and where we are together in our journey together with you. We ask you to be with your church in the coming weeks, months as we navigate what is certainly to be some strenuous times. We are coming through a year that has been chock full of hurdles and trials and obstacles aimed at derailing your people. We now this week have an election in our country to the south of us, the one of the main countries that drives this world. And we just ask a special blessing on your people, that regardless of outcome, that we maintain our focus on you, that we maintain our focus on our behavior, and give us peace and calm that your spirit provides, that regardless of outcome, we will not turn on each other, that we will boldly and courageously, as we heard during the message today, that we will stand up for you, that we will take your message to the world, and that we will not be afraid to stand up for you. So again, we are so grateful to have knowledge of you and knowledge of Jesus Christ. And we just ask you to stir up within us your spirit, that we may be bold, that we may be faithful, and that we may stand to the end. Again, we ask you to dismiss this service, bring us back together next week, and just go with us individually and collectively. And we look forward to the return of your Son. We now put the rest of this Sabbath into your hands. We thank you for this opportunity to be together. We thank you for the sacrifice of you, Jesus Christ. And we now close this service and doing so in the name of Jesus Christ, our brother, King, and Messiah. Amen.